The gladiators oftentimes fought to the death. This was just part of the Roman Empire, and we looked at some of the different arenas that they had. And now we jump into looking at the gladiators. Many times is how they'd kill Christians. First, they would give a salute to the emperors. They'd enter the arena and they'd say, "Hail Caesar, we who are about to die salute you." In the Ephesus Museum, there's a chart that contains tomb inscriptions describing the careers of some of the gladiators. The one, it says age 23, survived 8 fights, died during the 9th. Age 27, survived 15, died during the 16th. Age 30, 34 fights, 21 victories, 9 draws, 4 defeats, always pardoned. So they didn't always die. Many times it'd be up to the Caesar if they lived or died or whatever, whoever was running the games. The cities also had small theaters for political assemblies like this right here, where they could gather as a city to hear what was going on. They were also used for plays, concerts, poetry, readings, pantomimes, and speeches. Wealthy people were buried in stone or marble caskets called sarcophagi. There's a large necropolis or cemetery outside Hierapolis with hundreds of these. And just here's some pictures of them. The cities of the Roman Empire were given over to idolatry. It's no different than America today is given over to idolatry. You know, I like when you read in Acts chapter 17 that Paul, he went into Ephesus and he was waiting for some of his companions to come meet up with him. And it says as he was there with the city, his spirit was wholly stirred in him because he saw the city wholly given over to idolatry. And it stirred his spirit within him when he saw all the idolatry that was in Athens at the time as he walked through it. And that's when he preaches to them on Areopagus or Mars Hill. And he says, "Well, you know, when I walked by, I passed through, I saw the inscription, you know, the altar with the inscription to the unknown God." And they would worship to the unknown gods. In case we missed one, we want to make sure we got it taken care of is what it was. And he says, "To the unknown God whom ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And that's what we need to do in this very same generation. And as we talk to people, we have to call out their false gods of idolatry, what they are. We need to call them out so they can turn from those idols. And that's that same chapter, Acts chapter 17, where God tells those Athenian pagans, he says, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And we have to tell them the same thing. We've got to teach them the same thing. For their own good, we have to be willing to call out the idols in this land, and they are abundant. They are abundant. So the cities of the Roman Empire were given over to idolatry, no different than the cities of today. Zeus, Hermes, these are some of their gods. Now let me ask you, take a look at that statue of Zeus. Who is he made, or who's made to look like him today? Do we know? Jesus, that's the Jesus, who they tell us Jesus is, right? I mean, he was a Jew, but he looks like a white, you know, Roman. You know, I mean, Zeus, that's who they make Jesus to look like today. That picture, I'm going to show you. Isn't that the same? Their portrayals of him, right? Because he's just a false god. He's a mythological god, you know, but that's exactly who they make him to look like. And then I saw this one. I threw this up here, you know, with the Sodomite flag, you know, and he's like, I'm all accepting. That's not a picture of calling them to repentance. It's nothing like that. It's not calling them to repentance. It's saying, I'll accept you just like you are. It doesn't work like that. God didn't do that with anyone in the Bible. It's not. No, you come to God on His terms. And one of those requirements is repentance. You've got to turn to Him. This is modern day Christianity right here. Modern day Christendom. Even, I think this movie, I don't even know what it was called, but this was a movie. It's from a movie, I know that. And look at how they portray Jesus. They're so biblically illiterate that this is what they portray him to look like. I mean, you know, I remember, what was it, like 15 years ago or however long ago it was, you know, 13 years ago or something like that, The Passion of the Christ came out, and they portray him with long hair as well. Don't you read your Bible? Well, Mel Gibson's Catholic, and he's going to Catholic theologians to get his history from. They don't know the Bible. Therefore, they portray Jesus just like he's said to look like in all these portraits that started like in the 1300s, 1100s, whenever it was. That's how they began to portray him, as a white European. I'm sorry, that's just not facts. You know, I drove by a church the other day, some Lutheran church. I was up in the Heights, and they had him looking like he was black. I'm sorry, he wasn't black either. He looked like a Jew. Probably had olive-colored skin, you know, like many in here. You know, that's what he would have looked like. He would have had dark hair like Jews. I mean, that's what Jesus would have looked like, not anything like this stuff. Some of the other false gods, Apollos, Pan. Pan's pretty wicked when you start studying that out. By the way, this is what's, let me get off on a little somewhat of a rabbit trail, but Peter Pan. This is Peter Pan right here. It's from this false god. And just think about what Peter Pan does anyway. I mean, that, we think it's Disney. He goes in and he steals this girl. That's what we all want, right? That dad's, you know, we want some boy coming in, sneaking into our daughter's window and stealing her. Wonderful picture Disney paints for us, isn't it? That's what it is. And it's this false god, Pan, Peter Pan. Now look at Apollos. It looks like a woman to me, doesn't it? That androgyny right there, making either way, just the unisex movement, okay, that it could go either way. Again, look at, you know, Lady Liberty, you know, the Statue of Liberty. That's one masculine-looking woman. I mean, it looks, parts of her look like a woman, and other parts it looks like a man. Just androgyny, that's what it is. And look, this is, this whole idea right here of the feminizing of men, the masculinizing of women, it's all satanic because it goes completely against how God created us in the very beginning. Go, if you would, to Genesis, and I will get the chapter for you here in a second. It's one or two. I think it's two. No, it's 127 is what I want. Genesis 127 said, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." Now get this right here. This does away with the whole transgender movement. It just shuts it down, destroys it. Okay? "In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." God in the very beginning made them with a distinction. And after God had created Adam, if you read through, it might be Genesis chapter 2, but if you read through that creation story, as God created Adam and then he brings all the animals before him, Adam names all of them, but he didn't find a helpmeet for him. And then God says, well, what are we going to do about this? So they end up making Eve. And when Eve is brought before Adam, he immediately notices a difference because they were made different. And God is 100% for distinction between the sexes. And if we're going to allow our culture to define that for us, our culture is destroying that. Our culture, our society, religion is destroying that. Even what calls itself Christianity, as they put up pictures of Jesus Christ, they make him look soft, effeminate, like a woman. I mean, just look at what they even try and make as masculine. Even back to when I was a kid, I can remember, you know, you look at pro wrestling and stuff like that, and you'd have all these big old, you know, strong guys, and yet they have long hair like a woman. Why? What's with that? Look at the whole rock and roll movement as it came out, and you've got them dressing like women, dressing soft, wearing all these tight clothes, and all of them have long hair. What is that? What is that? Is that of God? We have to really ask ourselves, is that of God? And is that how God wants us to be today? And it's just gotten worse, like 1,000 times worse than when it first started, at least in our culture, in modern America, okay, in the 20th century on into the 21st century. It's only gotten worse. And if we aren't really building ourselves up and renewing our minds to think biblically it's going to get us and it's going to take us. And there's already some people that have been in this church and have left because some of the reasons are because of things like this that I say, and they've accepted it. It's pulled them and they're like, oh, they're okay with it. So when they hear something like this, it's completely foreign to them. And they have no clue what to do with it because they don't think biblically, because the world has stolen their hearts and they think like the world rather than like God. And that is backwards from what God wants us to be. That is completely backwards. So that may mean we have to make changes in our own lives, but we need to, because we need to be in conformity with the Word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the transformation starts in our mind. We've got to let it impact our mind. We've got to start thinking differently. And until we're willing to do that, we won't change our thinking. Until we're willing to remove ourselves from this ungodly thinking. And it is Antichrist, by the way. It is Antichrist. The whole cross-dressing thing that goes on is completely Antichrist. You got all these rock and rollers back in the 60s and stuff cross-dressing. You know, it used to be something wicked and shameful. You know, you call them drag queens, men dressing like women. That used to be just something that was completely wicked and ungodly, and now it's like normal. We're okay with it. Because we don't think like God. But God says it's an abomination for that. It's an abomination both ways, by the way. Both ways, for a man to dress like a woman or a woman to dress like a man. And we are going to get into that. I'm going to have to delay it just a bit because there's some other things I want to teach us. But I will get to that. And I'll show us biblically. And sometimes we're afraid. We're like, don't show me biblically because then I'm accountable. No, that's the wrong attitude. That is the wrong attitude. Show me what the Bible says so I can conform my life to it. That's the attitude of a disciple. And that's the attitude that we all need. We need to have the attitude of a disciple. I want to... Just as we're looking at just this androgyny, I want to read this here to us. This was an article that was emailed to me. I'm just going to kind of skim through some of it. But here's the headline. Parents lose custody of daughter after refusing to support her transition to male. Okay. Columbus, Ohio, February 14th, 2018, LifeSite News. Ohio government authorities forced parents to give up legal custody of their daughter after the mother and father said they opposed the girl's decision to identify as a boy and transition to being male. The Hamilton County Job and Family Services took legal custody of the teenage girl, 17, who, according to court records, suffers from gender dysphoria. What in the world is that anyway? Gender dysphoria. We just make this stuff up as we go. I mean, let's just give it some name like that. It sounds scientific. They don't have a clue. They really. Psychology is a bunch of nonsense. Psychology is a bunch of... mostly what psychology is, it's self-esteem. You need to feel better about yourself and whatever makes you feel good. That is what psychology is today. You go, I need a Christian psychologist. And they're going to give you the same garbage because they've been fed and taught the same things. I mean, we need biblical counseling is what we need, to think biblically. And all psychology is going to do is just affirm you in whatever you want to do because nothing's wrong. There is no morality. How can you make a morality? How can you say that something is absolutely right? That's where psychology is coming from, and it's antithetical to what the Word of God says. Psychology says, hey, you just need better self-esteem. You need to think more positively about yourself, and it's all about you and what you want, and you just need to feel good about yourself. The Bible says you're wicked as a devil. If we're just like, how can you say that's so mean? That just goes to show that we think like the world and not like the Bible and not like God, because God says that man comes out of the womb telling lies. That his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our hearts are desperately wicked. It's not just a little bit wicked, it's desperately wicked. It's just so desperate, you're so wicked, it's as bad as it gets. Your heart is in the gutter. That's what God says about man. There's nothing good in us. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's biblical right there. That's why we need to renew our mind. That's why we need to look at the Word of God and let that guide our thinking. Because we are wicked. And we think wickedly. And if you're honest with yourself, you say, yeah, that's true, amen. That's true. So this pop psychology is nonsense and it's harmful, and Christians have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Thank you, James Dobson. I mean, he's the biggest proponent of all this. The biggest proponent. I should have brought some of the quotes by him about things he said about it. Maybe another day. So the minor was diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and gender dysphoria after being hospitalized in 2016. Doctors decided that because she wants to identify as a male, she should be given testosterone and sex change drugs. Man, a 17-year-old doesn't know what they're thinking. A 16-year-old doesn't know what they're thinking. Really, they don't. This is why children need parents, to help guide their thinking, to teach them. She's about to make some decisions that will alter her life that you can't come back from. I don't think 100%. Maybe they can, but this is so new. This, you know, changing sexes and people wanting to go back. I don't know that it ever can be 100% restored if they go all the way through with it. And they begin to do these things. This is very dangerous. And again, this is the Antichrist agenda. And where do you say, where does it start? You know, with that. That's where this all starts. That's where it starts. You remember the first time you saw something and it shocked you? First time you saw something that was just like, wow, I can't believe that's out there. Oh my goodness. And it shocked you, and then the next times after that, you're just like, mm. And it loses the shock value. It doesn't bother you anymore. Okay, that's what's going on in our society today. It's beginning to lose its shock value to see men dressed like women. The shock value to see women dressed like men is long gone. Long gone. Long gone. I was just, before we came in here, I was looking at a clip of a documentary done here in Albuquerque of 1958, and almost every woman I saw was wearing a dress or a skirt below the knee. Every woman. But even then, the man who was doing the documentary, it was of his family. Even then, in part of it, his wife and daughter were wearing pants. See, it used to be wrong to see that, but it's not anymore. It's completely accepted, and it's acceptable, and it's okay, and there's nothing wrong with it. And we have to ask ourselves, is God okay with that? Does God want a difference between the sexes? Does God want a difference between men and women? And we go back to Genesis 1:27. What did He say there? That He created them male and female. He created them different. He created them different. This goes right to 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 11 where it talks about, maybe 2 Corinthians 11, but where it talks about it's a shame for a man to have long hair. It's a shame. It's still a shame for a man to have long hair. That's rebellion to God. See, that's a heart issue. It always goes back to the heart. But going back to the shock value of women dressing like men, that's long disappeared. That's not even an issue anymore. But now what it is today, you see a man wearing a dress or a skirt and you think, oh, what? That is gross. Give it a decade. Give it 10 years and we won't think that. Because it'll be so normal. Does that make it right? Does that make it right? I mean, why not put our little boys in, you know, pink skirts and dresses? Why not? You say, well, not pink. That's a girl color. A blue dress, dark blue. That's a boy. And it's got a man's cut. I'm getting ahead of myself on some of this. But look, this is it loses the shock value. This stuff is losing its shock value. It's so normal. You go into, you know, public high schools and it's getting worse and worse. It's more and more accepted for boys to be effeminate. That's just how it is. It's okay. I mean, even when I was in public school, there was sodomites that were openly sodomite. It wasn't big. I mean, I wonder now what it is like now. My kids went to a Christian school. There's kids coming out of there sodomite. There's at least two I know of in a Christian school when they went. That's a Christian, you know, fundamental Baptist school. And you got two of the boys coming out of there. Is it just two or is there more? Two? Two. In their age range. I don't even want to know what the public schools are like. How bad it is. See, there's just mass confusion. You say, where does it all start? Right there, us teaching it's okay. It just begins to desensitize us. It loses the shock value. We end up with this girl's being taken from her parents because she's confused because it's made to be normal. And now she's got depression. Why? Because she's going against God. I'm telling you, that's why she's depressed. She's going against nature. It's ungodly to want to do that. She's standing against God. This is why she's in depression. It's sin. The issue is sin. Now, I'm not saying every time someone's in depression, it's sin. Most of the time, it's going to be. Okay, most of the time, it's going to be. Not every time. I'm not saying that. I don't think, you know, people say, you know, oh, sin or depression, it's just your imagination. No, depression's real. People went through, you can read through the Bible, read through the Psalms. Those people were depressed. Read through the book of Job. He was depressed. Everything he was going through, he was depressed. It's not always sin, but many times when people are in depression, at least, especially in our society with the self-help and the psychology the way it is, self-esteem, it's all about you, it comes right down to sin. That's most of the time what it is. It's all about me. It's all pride. That's the issue, and people don't want to recognize that. They're like, no, it's not my fault I'm like this. Yes, it is your fault you're like that. You're being selfish. It is your fault. No one wants to look on the inside and say, what's the real issue here? I'm telling you right now, I know for a fact because I've counseled people, and when you start getting down to the heart of the issue, they stop coming. When you start, when you hit pay dirt, when the rubber hits the road, they don't want to talk anymore. They stop, they clam up. And it doesn't help them because they just push it to the side and I don't want to deal with it. That's what happens because they don't want to deal with their sin, and it's a sin issue. I'm telling you right now, it's a sin issue. And that's what this is. It's a sin issue. So moving on in this article, at stake are parental rights and who will make medical decisions as the legal guardian for the youngster. A decision is expected by Friday. So at stake are parental rights. I mean, but so the state's going to say, well, this is for her own good. We need to help her. We're going to read some more of it, but she wants to commit suicide. We need to help her. We need to prevent that. So we're taking the rights from the parents. And everyone will be like, yeah, until they're taking your child from you. That's not liberty. You say, well, what about that kid? Well, when that kid's taking care of herself, out on her own, you know, providing for herself, she can do what she wants. But right now, she's dependent on her parents. If she wants to go out and be on her own and do all that, you can't stop her from doing this. You can't. But if she wants to stay in our home and all that, she's a minor. She shouldn't have the right to just go out and leave. But again, you can't stop her. But if that's what she wants, then she's going to do it anyway. But go do it on your own. But if you want to be here, we're your parents. We have authority over you. And that's biblical, by the way. That's biblical. 18 is not some magic number. That's the society's brainwashed us into thinking that. Well, at 18, you're an adult. No, you're not. You could be an adult at 16 if you're mature enough. If you can be responsible. There's some 30-year-olds I know aren't adults. Maybe one day they'll grow up and be an adult. But if we want to look at it biblically, 20, that's when men could go off to war. Okay, that's talking about men. Okay, women are always to have a head over them, always. There's never a time a woman's not to have a head over her. Now, I'm talking about the perfect scenario, the best scenario, maybe not perfect, but the best scenario. It's not talking about a woman gets married, you know, goes with her husband and then he dies or something and she's a widow. That's a different circumstance. But honestly, God's intention is for every woman to have a head over her. She's never to be off on her own. Why? Because women are run more by emotion than men. And it is dangerous for them. Case in point, Eve. Very first example we have. A woman needs a head over her for her protection. And as we think about what that word even means, a head, I mean, our heads make, for our body, make our decision, don't they? Our head tells me if I'm going to go left or if I'm going to go right. My head does that. Okay, now as we look at this church, it's Jesus Christ is the head, so He tells us what we're going to do. He tells us what we do. And we follow what He says, what the head says. Well, it's the same for a girl. For a woman, her head tells her what to do. For her protection. For her protection. That's what it's for. So she's being taken away from her head. Pro-transgender doctors pressured the court in closing argument, saying a ruling must come quickly, claiming that the girl needed opposite sex hormones or else she may kill herself. Medical witnesses said that the parents' rejection of their daughter's decision to identify as a male has made her suicidal. They termed the girl's circumstances a life or death situation. You know, and I look at this and I do feel bad for the girl, but at the same time, this is, you know, the culture that our society has built up that, oh, you know, the poor thing, the parents didn't just give her whatever she wanted and accept whatever decision she made. You know, this is the result of us not telling kids no. I don't know the details of this, but just based on what I know about parenting and where society's at today, is this girl probably pretty much always got what she wanted, and then finally they're like, no, that is not how, we are not supporting that. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to kill myself then because you won't let me do what I want. She's throwing a fit. She's throwing a fit. Now, it's quite serious because she wants to kill herself. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. She might just be saying that. Who knows? But that's what's happening here. She's throwing a fit because she didn't get what she wanted, and everyone's not empowering her to do it and telling her, yeah, it's okay, go ahead. Go ahead. See, that's what the world wants to tell us, is there's no absolute standards. You can't stand and say that that's wrong. If I want to be a sodomite, you have to tell me it's okay. That's why you got to bake my cake and take my pictures. You know, if I want to have a wicked, ungodly, abominable, immoral relationship with a child, you have to tell me that's okay because I was born this way. Why is that any different? Well, the sodomite agenda, the LGBT community is going to, they already do, but they're going to more and more support pedophilia. Absolutely. If you don't know that, if you don't see that, you are blind. And you need to open your eyes to what is happening. That is absolutely what's going to happen. And this here, just get used to more of this as they start, you know, doing sex changes for 8 and 10 year olds. That feel this way. What 8 and 10 year old? I mean, man, I've had kids. I want to play this sport. And then they try and I don't like that. And they don't want to anymore. So we're going to let them decide, oh, I'm really a boy. Well, let's change it then. They're like, I don't like this. A little late now, isn't it? But we're going to let them make that decision. The court heard arguments that the girl's pro-transgender grandparents should take over custody. We think the grandparents are the ones who have an open mind regarding sex change hormones, while the parents have clearly indicated that they're not open to it. The court-appointed guardian for the girl argued, so who the girl's in custody with now. The parents testified that they only desire what is best for their daughter. Their attorney, Karen Brinkman, summarized their views of the case. If the maternal grandparents were to be given custody, it would simply be a way for the child to circumvent the necessity of parents' consent, Brinkman told the court. See, the courts are already deciding. They're already stepping in. This is where our society is already at. They've already decided that this is normal. That it's normal for a girl to really be a boy. And it's normal for a boy to really be a girl. So they're already saying that, no, the parents are against that. So the parents are wrong. And we, the government, the state, is right. And everyone's like, this is a victory for transgender rights. Like, open your eyes and look farther down the road. You're giving the state control of your children. Just because it's for you right now. I've got the same arguments with all these people that are for, you know, whatever the Republican Party does, they're for it. Man, the Republican Party just, you know, a few years ago was the conservative party, and they were against big government spending, and they were the ones doing the government shutdown because they want to pass these massive spending bills. And now all of a sudden, man, they won the presidency and they've got the House and the Senate. And now all of a sudden they want, no, they're for big government spending all of a sudden. What do you know? Biggest budget that's ever been is under a Republican presidency, Republican Congress, and a Republican Senate. And now all of a sudden they're not so conservative anymore. They're not so fiscally responsible anymore. And everyone's like, yeah, this is good. It's great for America. We're going to secure our borders and all this stuff. I thought you guys were against government spending and making government bigger. I mean, they're always quoting, you know, Ronald Reagan. You know, I'm paraphrase this, but the only good government's a small government. What happened to that? Because they don't believe it. None of them do. None of them do. And they're so stuck in the right-left paradigm that whatever the right says is good, whatever the left says is evil. Even if the right is saying what the left was saying just 3 years ago. Well, it's not evil anymore. It's good now because, well, our guys are saying it. And I know these same guys, a bunch of Christians that would say, you know, they're for, you know, hey, if President Trump signs an executive order to build a wall and make it illegal for illegal immigrants to get welfare, would you be for that? And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, sure, and type amen if you're for this and if you think that's a good idea. But these same guys that were saying that just 3 years ago were saying it's unconstitutional for President Obama to sign all these executive orders making law. Why was it unconstitutional 3 years ago and now it's not? Because you like what the guy's doing. It's still unconstitutional. Don't give any dictator that power, even if he does what you like, because the next guy that comes in you might not like. You have to start thinking like that. Instead of just, hey, this will be temporarily good. Well, until the next guy takes it away through his executive order and makes it worse. We don't want the government to have this type of power. And this is what's happening with this very thing. The courts are going to decide how we raise our children. And it is not good. All right. One more part here. Like the pro-transgender doctors, the grandparents urged immediate action to avoid the girl committing suicide. What we want to do is plan for a high school graduation, their lawyer told the court. We don't want to be planning for a funeral. Now, what are they doing with this? They're removing facts, and what are they doing? They're using emotions to make decisions or to sway the court. And this is how most people think. If you just get on any of these debates that go on about any of this type of stuff, the shooting that happened in Florida, if you want to get on there and the whole, you know, gun control debate's raging right now, as it always is, and just listen to the comments that come out of that, and it's all emotional based. It's all emotion based. And this is how they sway the masses, because most people don't think. Most people don't think. That can't be us as God's people. We're to be sober, to be vigilant. That means have a clear mind. We're thinking. That's how we're to be. So this mess of, you know, parents losing custody of their child because they don't support her gender transition because she has gender dysphoria. I mean, is a result of this right here. Androgyny. You can't tell if it's a guy or a girl. It could go either way. That's really what it is. The blending of the genders. Gender blending. Guys look like girls. Girls look like guys. That's what all this is a result of. The bathroom issue, everything. It all comes down to this. All right, Athena, Fortune. Mother goddess worship had originated in ancient Babel. All right, and we'll stop there because I'm past my time. So.